Hello and again, welcome to the Labyrinth Library Podcast. How you doing? I hope you are well, as always. Things are pretty good here. The classes are nearly done. My third year students have pretty much until the end of the month, and then they take finals. Really, they're already done. You know, their grades have been submitted to colleges, they've entered, they've accepted, they're doing everything they need to do, and right now they would really just rather coast. But of course, I can't let them do that, because I'm mean and I'm terrible, but I'm trying to give them some interesting things for the last, you know, 10 or 8 classes we've got. I've started giving them stories from Machine of Death, because I think it's interesting. I don't know if they think it's interesting, though. We'll find out. But the other students have until the end of February to keep studying. But that's pretty much it. We're on the downhill slope now. I have to start getting ready for next year. I have to start thinking of what kind of books I want to do, what kind of reading projects I want to do, fiction, nonfiction, who knows. So it should be interesting. But what else we got going on? Just got a book today. It is Will Wheaton's book, his new book, The Day After and Other Stories. Now, this is kind of special. It's a very, very thin book, only 50 pages. You get it off of lulu.com. And it was only available for, I think, a month, maybe, in print edition. So very limited print run, and I'm a sucker for it, so I bought a copy. I just took it out of the box, haven't even read it yet. I imagine it's quite good, and it'll be a very swift read, because it's only 50 pages. But I look forward to reading that. That, however, is not the big book news. The big book news, I should have talked about last week, but I didn't. So I'm talking about it this week, is Mark Twain and Huckleberry Finn. Now, I'm sure you've heard about this by now. It's been making the news. There's an imprint that wants to do a version of Huckleberry Finn, and they want to change some of the more, let's say, sensitive language, especially with the character of Jim. They want to take out the word nigger and replace it with the word slave. I think they also want to change Injun Joe to Indian Joe, but no one's really paying attention to that. Surprise. Everyone's paying attention to Jim and the dreaded N-word. You can probably guess where I fall on this. I think that an author's work should be respected. I think that if Twain used that word, then that is the word Twain wanted to use. And if it offends our sensibilities, well, tough. You know, I know this is taught in schools, and I know there's some parents who get really kind of twisted up about it. But from what I understand, a lot of the kids tend to take it in stride. You know, even the kids who would normally be offended by the use of the word, they understand. They're not stupid. And so I think we do need to give them the benefit of the doubt. And even aside from that, it's an excellent teaching opportunity. You can talk about why did Twain use the word nigger to describe Jim? Why not some other word? Why is it no longer acceptable now, and what does that mean? Should we change it? Is it right to do? What was Twain trying to say about Jim in that, and what do the passages imply? And if we change the word to slave Jim, how does that change the meaning? How does that modify Twain's intent? There's a whole bunch of discussion and education that can go on when you talk about authors and writing and how people write and what their messages are, which will be lost if we just change that word. So I understand the feeling behind it. And I hope that if there are schools that do use the new version, it's a limited run. It's only like 7,500 copies. So they're not trying to rip every version of Huck Finn out of the bookstores. You can still get your As Twain Wrote It version. But if there are schools who do pick up the new version, I do hope they tell the kids, look, this has been changed, it has been altered, let's look at this, and let's discuss the change, because that's important. Because you can't just forget it happened. You know what I mean? It doesn't work that way. So, that is a rant. I try not to do a lot of rants on this podcast, because Lord knows the internet is full of ranty podcasts. Interesting bit of trivia, by the way. Before I started doing this podcast, I tried doing another podcast, which was just me rambling about stuff for 15 or 20 minutes. Yeah, that lasted about 2 episodes, I think. And then I realized, you know, I am not contributing to the betterment of the internet this way. I hope I am contributing to the betterment of the internet now. Anyway. Oh, and yes. Flying Spaghetti Monster willing, you have received this podcast in your regular download method. I have changed everything over officially 100% to the new site, thelablib.org, so you should change all of your RSS links, you should change any of your bookmarks, and if I did this correctly, and I'm still not sure if I did, if you're listening to this, maybe I did, iTunes should be downloading normally. I switched everything over with FeedBurner, and I pinged iTunes, and as far as I know, everything should work. So if you're listening to this, I know this sounds completely insane, but if something's wrong with how you're receiving the podcast, please let me know and I'll try to fix it. But that is not what we're here to talk about either. This is not tech talk. There's plenty of those as well. We're here to talk about a book. I told you last week that we're doing some Terry Pratchett, which means Discworld, and about how weird it is to lose your job and be fired from your job, and how much stranger it would be to be fired from who you are. And unfortunately, I got no correct guesses this week. The book that we are doing is Reaper Man, one of the earlier Discworld books. So let me ask you this question. What are your thoughts on death? Or rather, capital D, death. I mean, it's a weird thing, death. And I know we've talked about death here before on this podcast many times, but it's still a weird thing. I mean, one minute you're here, and then you're not here. And while we all know, you know, intellectually that we're going to die, there's something in us that just refuses to believe that the essential person we are could possibly cease to exist. I mean, we have personalities. We have unique aggregations of memory and experience and inborn preferences that all display themselves as a person, capital P. And as far as we know, this person is unique in all the world, in all the universe, even. Each human being is an entity that will never be seen again. And as far as we know, the cessation of life just brings that entity to an end, reducing the person we knew to a mere insentient object. Is it any wonder, then, that we come up with stories about what happens, you know, after? Just about every culture that has ever been has come up with some form of afterlife, be it an eternal feast for heroes, a paradise where we can go bask in God's glory, a place of exquisite pain and torment, or a ticket back to Earth for another go-round. I mean, there's no way of knowing if any of those are actually what happens when we die, at least not till we do it. So since we cannot know, we make stuff up, if only to make the whole thing easier to bear. Now, what often goes with that other world, then, is someone to take us over. A ferryman or a guide, someone who knows the territory and knows where we need to go in what is very likely a rather confusing time. It's another piece of comfort, knowing that there is someone out there who knows where we need to go and what we need to do. You know, sort of like a cruise counselor for the afterlife. That brings us then to death, capital D. Death has been portrayed many, many ways over the years. My favorite, personally, is the death from Neil Gaiman's Sandman series. She's sort of an older sister who has known you all your life, and she knows the good things you've done and the bad things you've done, but whatever it is, she loves you anyway. Now, if she shows up when I die, I think I'll be okay. I would be just as happy, though, with Pratchett's death, even though he is a bit more in the traditional robes, scythe, and skeleton type. Fans of Discworld love death, which I imagine was somewhat baffling for Pratchett early on. In the first few books, death was just a bit character. He showed up a couple times to collect the recently deceased, and that was it. But his scenes were so memorable and so good that they sometimes stuck out above the rest of the book. You know, he speaks
entirely in capital letters, which lends him a voice that is probably reminiscent of James Earl Jones.
Kind of like that. He's sort of aloof, but he's not uncaring, and he seems to take a rather curious interest in humanity. He likes cats, he has a house off in the edge of nowhere, and rides a great white steed named Binky. Death has become, in short, a very interesting person, and it seems that that is a problem. The universe, you see, is a finely tuned instrument, one which needs monitoring and occasionally adjusting. There are, let's call them, auditors, who make sure that reality stays real. No odd deviations or anomalies such as, to pick an example out of thin air, anthropomorphic personifications of natural forces. In all honesty, they would eliminate all life if they could, but that is as yet beyond their capabilities. So they settle for telling Death that it's time for him to retire. He gets a little hourglass all his own, and time to kill until the new Death comes into being. In the interim, this time between deaths, a new problem arises. Nothing is dying. Or to be more specific, things are dying, but the vital energies that empowered everything, from cabbages to clergymen, aren't being taken away. Without a death to handle this very vital, so to speak, function, This life energy is looking for a place to go, for an outlet. As a result, things that shouldn't be alive are up and moving around. In some cases, this means objects running of their own accord, and in others, it seems that the dead simply have nowhere else to go. Such is the case, then, with the wizard Windle Poons. After 130 years at the Unseen University, he was rather looking forward to a nice rest and then a bit of reincarnation as a woman in a far more liberal society. What he got instead was nothingness. Given that option, he went back to his body and became undead, much to the consternation of the rest of the UU faculty. Unfortunately for them, they have bigger things to worry about. The buildup of life force is having a rather larger and more dangerous effect on the city of Ankh-Morpork itself. The lack of a death may well doom the city in a manner that will be horribly familiar to many of Pratchett's readers. And then where is Death in all of this, or at least the person who used to be Death? He has found a small farm below the famous Ramtop Mountains. An old maid, Miss Flitworth, needs a hand, and Death needs a way to spend his time, something he's never had to worry about before. He takes the alias Bill Dorr and starts to learn what it means to be alive, despite the short time he has left. The book, as you might imagine, is all about being alive. What makes life special and precious and ultimately worth living? Windle Poons let his life go past while he grew old behind university walls, and it is only in death that he finds out all the fun he'd missed. Bill Dorr learns that it is the fragility of life, and its most certain end, which ultimately gives it meaning. In the middle, we can see that everything that can live yearns to do so, from the mayflies to the great counting pines to cities to ideas. While the book gives no answers as to what may happen after death, the Discworld books rarely do, it does give us another way to look at life, and that ultimately is the goal of any great story. Let me give you a quote. This comes from a character named Red Shoe. I believe this is his first appearance in Discworld. He later becomes a somewhat semi-recurring background character, and he is a zombie. He is the undead, and he's kind of an activist for undead rights. He organizes this whole, you know, we've been stepped on long enough group that Windle joins at one point. And he's sort of that overzealous activist type, you know, someone who's really, really passionate about their cause and kind of makes other people nervous. And Reg says, "Ha! Priests! They're all the same! Always telling you that you're going to live again after you're dead, but you just try it and see the look on their faces." So that is Terry Pratchett's Reaper Man. Somebody mentioned in the listener survey, you have taken the listener survey, right? That they would like to hear more Pratchett, and that is fine with me. I just try not to sort of put too many of the same author in a row, but I have lots of Pratchett lined up, and I'll definitely keep dropping him into the reviews. No worries about that. But that is it for that book. The death books tend to be some of my favorites in the Discworld, if only because they are so wonderfully existential and philosophical and good stuff like that. Check it out if you haven't already. And that is about it. Right now I am reading Jim Butcher's Codex Alera series, or at least the first book of it. I don't know what to say. I mean, I've gotten about a quarter of the way through. One of my friends piped up on Facebook, and she warned me away from it. She said it was bad. It's certainly not as engaging as the Dresden books are, I think. There's not that sense of imminent danger constantly, and it is a bit derivative of, you know, your basic epic fantasy. But it's Jim, and I like his work, so I'm certainly giving him the try, and I've got the other books in my bookshelf anyway, so I may as well keep going. But we'll see what happens. We'll see how it works itself out. Okay, so before I let you go, let me give you the clue to next week's book. As always, all I'm going to tell you, and if you've read this book, you should get this immediately and you should know. The title of the book is A Punctuation Joke. That's it. That's your clue. The title of the book is A Punctuation Joke, which pretty much tells you everything you need to know. I'm looking forward to it. It's a fun little book, especially if you are someone who's very interested in how English works and how language works, which is me. It's sort of my job. That's all I've got. I hope that you are well. I hope that you've received this podcast. You know, we'll never know until we try. And that's it. I will have to sign off now, and I will see you all next week. A text version of this review will be up on the blog, thelablib.org, along with any relevant links I can think of. If you have anything you want to say or any suggestions you'd like to make, please leave a comment and let me know. If you have a book you would like to recommend, I would be happy to hear it. If you'd like to send me an email, send it to labyrinthlibrary@gmail.com. And if you like what you hear, please give a review on iTunes, become a fan on Facebook, or follow LabLib on Twitter. This podcast is covered by a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial No Derivatives license, so feel free to share it, but please don't sell it or change it. The music is courtesy of Kevin MacLeod at www.incompetech.com. Thanks for listening. I'll be back next week. And until then, keep reading.